Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.
Korang tengah layar podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mat Pis.
Aku Yem, kembali Mat Pis dalam podcast Amans. Kau tahu tak, I miss you so much bro.
Alhamdulillah, I'm happy to be back. It's been a while. Aku rasa berapa episode? 4-5 episode juga berjalan tanpa aku.
4-5 episodes and... I don't know whether you're lazy or you just don't like me, but you know, I miss you so much.
Itulah.
So is it you don't like me or is it because you're lazy? Which one?
I'd say because I was really sick. I was really really sick. But whatever it is.
Cita sikit. Kau sakit apa?
Aku diagnosed with double infection, sinus that proceed to lungs. So from sinus diturun ke lungs, so double really, infection. Yeah, so demam was over 40. I was jam packed with antibiotics for 2 weeks. I'm actually still on medication. I have 4 nasal sprays that I have to put into my nose every day. But things have, alhamdulillah, semua okay. I'm glad. Boleh kata sihat cukup untuk be back on this podcast. And I'm sure banyak perkara.
Itu dah ada.
Yang kita miss. So kita mulakan.
Banyak dah berubah, bro. Twitter dah beli Elon Musk.
Tapi I'm sure that that's not the biggest story. Kita mulakan biggest story. Okay, berita terbesar minggu ni, of course, ada pengumuman oleh AirAsia ataupun lebih spesifiknya AirAsia Ride, yang dikatakan mereka telah menawarkan full-time employment ataupun pekerjaan sepenuh masa kepada pemandu-pemandu mereka. Dan boleh dikatakan this offer comes sebulan selepas AirAsia Food dan AirAsia Express delivery riders juga diberikan benda sama. Of course, I have to explicitly say here, aku sebenarnya taklah gemar sangat dengan AirAsia ni. But this particular move, aku rasa it's good lah, especially when we talk about gig economy dan sebagainya. Dan kita tahu penawaran kerja sepenuh masa ini is basically tambahan kepada AirAsia punya rights existing independent drivers program. Dan ini merupakan kenyataan yang dikeluarkan oleh AirAsia Super App yang kita tahu sebahagian daripada well, you want to call AirAsia, Capital A Berhad sebagainya, but its official name is Capital A Berhad. So dalam penawaran tersebut mulai Oktober 1, pemandu yang boleh dikatakan layak dalam program-program yang sedia ada dan juga pemandu-pemandu baru dapat opt-in ataupun memilih untuk menjadi full-time drivers. So basically apa maksudnya, mereka akan ada monthly base income iaitu $3,500, termasuk ada fuel benefits dan juga peluang untuk earn a total income up to RM8,000. Dan selain daripada itu, selain daripada incentive scheme, kita tahu semua full-time workers ada dia punya respective incentive scheme. They also get full employee benefits, kebaikan ataupun full employee benefits seperti EPF, SOXO, medical coverage yang juga cover their spouses and children as well. Yang penting ada annual leave dan juga travel benefits such as heavily discounted staff rates for Asia flights. Okay, itu Asia lah. But basically, selain daripada apa yang aku nyatakan tadi, mereka juga diberikan priority untuk airport job assignments so that they can earn more from airport pickups and drop-offs. And kita tahu bila jadi full-time driver ni, inilah benefit-benefit dia yang bagi aku rasa I'm not sure whether it solves the actual problem, but it's I think untuk these delivery riders dan juga mereka yang terlibat dalam program ni, it's a light at the end of the tunnel lah, because you can actually see that this is the way forward for them.
No, I think it's very important for us to understand the background. It all started in California, as it always does when it comes to the app-based economy, when it comes to gig economy, when it comes to the attention economy, but most importantly, when it comes to the internet revolution. Uber started off in California, and of course, the satu dunia ni. And Uber was the biggest company that did not start to classify the riders and drivers as an employee. Now, this went on for a few years, and then until 2020, tahun 2020, wujud satu undi di negeri California, nama dia Prop 22 ataupun Proposition 22. Di mana dalam proposition ni, ataupun dalam undian ballot ini, dia ada memberikan satu exemption di mana syarikat tidak wajib untuk mengklasifikasikan orang yang bekerja untuk syarikat itu sebagai pekerja, tetapi boleh klasifikasikan dia sebagai contractor yang independent. Independent contractors rather than employees. Now, pada undian tersebut, menang sebanyak 59% dan manakala 41% menidakkan ataupun tidak mahu Proposition 22 ini diluluskan. Susulan daripada itu, impak dia sangat besar untuk bukan sahaja California, malah Amerika Syarikat, di mana syarikat-syarikat gig yang macam Uber ataupun Lyft, LYFT di Amerika Syarikat tidak wajib untuk memberikan satu situasi di mana mereka wajib untuk menamakan orang yang kerja untuk diorang sebagai pekerja. So everybody gets the status of independent contractor. And because you get the status of independent contractor, there are pro and con. The pro is you can still be employed by your current employment. You can still go to your job. You can still do whatever you want. And as a supplementary income, you can work as a gig worker, in this case for Uber or Lyft or many others. The downside is that kau tak dapat benefit sebagai employee, kau tak dapat SOXO, kau tak dapat EPF, kau tak dapat cuti, kau tak dapat insurance, kau tak dapat semualah. Basically, kau just dapat gaji macam tu je. So, aku ingat lagi masa aku interview the CEO of Foodpanda Malaysia, the interview went well for the first 20 minutes, bro. This was like masa pandemic. I think it's 2020 lah.
Yeah.
Bila aku tanya pasal Prop 22, the guy just went militant on me. And you can actually check it out, right? I mean, I'm not even imagining. It's right there on the internet. Yeah, might as well I insulted his mother, you know, because the tone just fucking changed. And then, having said that, Mamat tu tak nak datang lagi interview dengan aku tau.
Terus trauma.
Terus trauma, bro. Sebab aku tanya satu soalan. What do you think about California Prop 22? Do you feel that there is a situation where gig companies in Malaysia should classify their workers, riders and drivers as employees rather than independent contractors? I'm just asking his opinion. Now, I'm not too sure what happened in between, but he got offended and he didn't want to like talk to me after that. Okay lah, whatever. So the moral of the story is this.
Dia menyusahkan dia, right? Because you can just partner with 200 people, but now you have to employ 200 people. Tak ke menyusahkan?
No, hang on. It's not necessarily black and white like that. I actually disagree with you there, Mabie. Sebab, okay, if you are a business owner, you might want to think twice about hiring 200 employee. You might want to think twice, right? But remember, when it comes about employment, there is a static pay. No matter how much work you do, you have to work certain number of hours or else I consider you as no show lah dekat tempat kerja. Macam office, 9 to 5.
If
you don't show up at 9, you show up at 10 or 11. Whatever, man. You kena whack lah. Tengok kau punya timestamp, card. Kalau kau kena disciplinary action, show cause letter, warning letter, all that lah kan. But because I'm employing you as an employee, you get a fixed rate, you get a salary, and you know, if you do good, you get maybe increment, 3%, 5%, 10%, whatever lah, you get promotion, whatever. That is the one side of the argument. The other side of the argument is, if you're a business owner, and I don't want to hire this kind of you know, 200 employee contohnya, and I hire 200 independent contractors, okay, I don't get like burdened over the fact that you are an employee, therefore aku tak payah hire HR, whatever lah, I just pay your incentives, but your variable cost can go fucked up, you know. Your variable cost is the one that scares companies on hiring independent contractors.
That means because kerja based on project lah. Project dia pukul
kerja based on
sampai
project. So,
dia pukul sampai 20, 25 order.
Kalau semua pukul sampai lunai? Ah, kan? Satu jam 25 order darab dengan 200 ni rider. And then kau ada budget untuk 200 employee as a fixed contract worker sahaja. You are done. You are done, my friend. Yeah. And remember, all this is talking about cash flow, because let's say I'm a platform provider and you as a customer order on through my platform, and then you know, let's put names. Katalah aku Grab, right? Engkau customer, engkau order from Chicken Rice Shop, okay? And then the payment that you make is on Grab Wallet. Now, when does the Chicken Rice Shop get their money? Is it instant or is it delayed? How? It depends on the terms of the company. Let's say Chicken Rice Shop punya terms dengan aku Grab is a bit more direct, maknanya instantaneous. So I have to pay now using my Grab Wallet to Chicken Rice Shop RM50 contohnya order straight up 50 pap. Engkau bayar kat aku katalah maybe 70 maybe, right? So aku untung RM20 gross profit. Of that RM20 aku semua dah cash, eh? Cash basis. Semua aku nak bayar driver aku berapa ringgit? Katalah RM10. So aku sebenarnya net profit aku untung RM10 saja. Okay. This is if the transaction is done on spot. If the transaction is done on delayed, okay, let's say aku instead of Chicken Rice Shop, kau pergi beli contohnya Pizza Hut. Maybe the terms dengan aku dengan Grab, Grab dengan Pizza Hut a bit different. I pay Grab pays Pizza Hut maybe 2 days later. So I can actually hold on your RM70, do that money, make that money work, sweat as much as I can. And then after 2 days, I pay the RM50 back to Pizza Hut. All right? Assuming that's the case. If all the vendors actually don't want delayed, all the vendors want spot, then my float will be very, very tight. Very tight. Okay? And riders also same thing. Riders get their money instantaneous. At the end of the day, they get the incentives. Poop, dia dapat. So at the end of the day, I have to have this massive cash flow to ensure that all my pending transactions are completed, and I want to make sure that I don't owe anybody anything at that particular time. Now, this, my friend, is a whole world of cash management. Kalau kau ada 3 vendor dengan 10 rider, kau boleh manage. Kau pakai buku 35 settle. But if you're a big company like, say, Grab,
ratus.
You ribu. Ratus ribu juta, bro. I don't know. No, I think millions per day. I don't know. Because it's a privately held company in Malaysia. I don't know. Right?
You don't even
and then
know
whatever number that they present. Yeah. I think the cost can run into the millions per day.
Tapi,
float.
Tapi okay? the question now is, kita tengok with this very attractive proposition by AirAsia and their riders, how does it impact Malaysian punya e-hailing ataupun gig economy? Do you think Foodpanda, okay, Grab will do something about it?
No, I don't think they will do anything about it. We don't have such a thing called state ballot requirement. So, you know, PRU is always about electing which buffoon goes to the parliament or the ADUN. It's never about state proposition, right? We don't work the way the US does. So, because of that, there's no legislative pressure. Competitive pressure, there's no such thing, because it's all about price point and price war. If I want to get a Grab, if I want to get a ride, I just compare against Grab, InDriver, AirAsia Ride, you name it, right? So whichever price point yang lowest, I go take it. So there's no competitive pressure there. And most importantly, is there economic pressure? Would hiring people as an employee create better cost price and expenses? It depends. So at the end of the day, it really is boiling down to the company and how they manage their cash flow. Number satu. Number dua, in how they manage their cost, overall cost. Do they prefer to have more fixed costs the way AirAsia does? or do they prefer the way they are working right now, more variable cost? So the only thing, so dari legislative pressure tak wujud, competitive pressure tak wujud, at the end of the day you go down to cost pressures, and cost pressures is very internal. You don't have to rely on your competition to look at the cost. You only look at yourself and ask yourself whether or not you're more comfortable using this cost or that cost. In AirAsia's case, they are more comfortable fikir pasal fixed cost rather than variable cost. But for say Grab or Foodpanda and the likes, or InDriver for that matter, they are more thinking about, you know, variable cost. So yeah, dari segi impact menyeluruh mungkin tak sangat, tapi dari segi bagus tak bagus dari segi employee, I think it's a questionable thing. It's not a straightforward, oh yeah, jom kita sokong, bagus AirAsia, right? No. I don't think it's as straightforward as that. I'm leaning towards that, but it's not straightforward. Macam kalau kau tanya aku, eh, best tak kalau aku pergi bunuh orang? The answer is no, of course not. Walaupun orang tu orang jahat ke, orang bahlul ke, it's not, right? Because the argument is very clear cut.
Just
don't murder people.
It's black and white. Kan? But this one is a bit more complicated.
That one is black and white. This one is complicated. This one is very gray. You got to open the books. You got to look at the impact towards the employee and the employer. At the end of the day, if you are a rider and you are a driver, are you more comfortable being hired by a company, say for instance AirAsia, right? Or do you feel more comfortable to work with a gig economy kind of setup and work with say Grab or InDriver?
I think ultimately it's up to the individual punya choice lah, whether you want to be tied down to a company or you know, take a more part-time kind of job. A very interesting development here. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita sambung. Apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ni?
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mahfiz dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen kedua, apa lagi berita terbesar ini. Okey, kita keluar ataupun keluar dari Malaysia, more specifically India. iPhone maker Foxconn telah menandatangani boleh dikatakan pact for another chip plant di Western India. Honhai Precision Industry Co., the assembler of the most of the world's iPhones, plan to build a chip making facility in India with a local partner to tap the rising demand of semiconductors and the government support for such projects. Dan kita tahu this is basically the plan is to set up a factory in Gujarat, which is the home state of PM India, Narendra Modi. Total investment of the project, which includes semiconductor fabrication, assembly and testing as well as display production, is set to reach 1.54 trillion rupees dengan main-main, ataupun US 19.4 billion. Is very big numbers. And kita tahu although these partners boleh dikatakan dilaporkan doesn't have that much experience in running large chip operations, tapi just based on sheer demand, kita tengok smartphone, cars, home appliances, basically anything that is smart these days and you know is connected to the internet, it has an increasing number of semiconductors. They are banking on that to fuel their operation. Dan kita tahu kerajaan India yang dipimpin oleh Modi pada tahun lepas telah boleh katakan menunjukkan ataupun membentangkan 10 billion USD incentive plan where they offer to even cover ataupun cover the cost as much the cost of a project up to 50% and this is involves semiconductor fabricators to set up that is based in India. Dan juga kita tahu India juga apparently is the world's number 2 smartphone maker. And of course, not entirely surprised, just because of the sheer number of labor that is available there. But what does this mean, Yem, in the whole global chip making race, and you know, in the race for money, for investment? Yeah. What does this mean for India and also for the chip making business?
This has to be read in tandem and simultaneously with the Chip Act that was approved by US Congress, $52 billion, that we ran the news a few episodes ago, maybe about 10 episodes ago, where kalau kita nak flashback balik, US Congress dah approve $52 billion duit kerajaan Amerika Syarikat yang akan dilaburkan dalam dua syarikat terbesar kat situ, iaitu TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Company, dan juga Intel. Tapi ada syarat, iaitu you tak boleh kembangkan perniagaan korang dekat China. Once you read these two pieces of news together, the first piece is of course apa kau baca tadi, Foxconn dah strike satu perjanjian untuk membina chip plant dekat East India. And then the second piece of news, iaitu kehendak kerajaan Amerika Syarikat untuk syarikat-syarikat pembikin chip seperti Intel dan juga TSMC untuk hentikan pembesaran kilang-kilang mereka di China, baru kita dapat jawab soalan kau, iaitu what does this bring about the greater impact of the global chip maker industry? Now, baru tadi aku hadir satu perbincangan panel dekat Invest Malaysia KL 2022, dianjurkan bersama dengan JP Morgan dan juga Bursa Malaysia. Dekat situ, the chip panel, there is a panel discussion on semiconductor chip. There's a few things that we have to think about. Number one, when you build chips, you are not building it in isolation. In fact, the supply chain of chip making requires up to sometimes, up to 20 countries are involved in chip making. Malaysia sits right in the middle of it in Penang, where we have chip fabrication plants like Intel, like ATNS, like Innercon, many others. And you start to wonder if China doesn't want to open up their economy, or maybe they do, but they have a lot of restrictions. If the United States imposes gila-gila punya restrictions, if you want my money, therefore you don't start your business in China anymore, you're going to start to realize that chip makers like macam berita yang kau baca ni, Honhai, iaitu the assembler of the world's iPhone yang plans to build this chip making industry factory dekat India, you start to wonder the joint venture between Honhai, also known as Foxconn, dengan satu company yang berpangkalan dekat India, iaitu Vedanta Limited dekat Gujarat, you're going to see more of these kind of partnerships being struck. Because and only because they can't handle the Chinese restrictions any longer. They've been trying to work with the Chinese government for the longest of time, but they couldn't. Macam panel discussion tadi pun cakap benda sama. Chip makers, they are highly regulated and they are highly compliant. Those are the two elements of chip making. Very complicated, all right? But in the complications of them making the chips, they have two things. Number one, highly regulated, and number two, highly compliant. If you create so much regulations to a point where you cannot comply, or maybe you can, but because of the compliance, you're driving your cost up extremely high, you are left with no choice but to leave the market. It's as simple as that. All the other problems, according to the panel discussion tadi, is actually noise. All the other problems. Contohnya macam mana tau? Tak cukup rare earth material.
Boleh cari.
Ataupun tak cukup, boleh cari. Tak cukup workers. Contohnya ATNS nak buat chip fabrication plant baru dekat Bandar Baru Kulim. You know, they have to hire 5,000 blue-collar high-tech workers. Blue-collar lah, maknanya diorang ni tak ada degree, diorang grad maybe technician ataupun paling maksimum pun vocational, you know, that kind of thing. 5,000 workers in the next 3 years, they have to hire. So, you know, using the same mathematic, you have to hire 1,500 people every year. Tak ke gila? Itu pun tak cukup. Sebab when you hire 1,500, takkan tak ada orang resign. Let's say 20-30 people.
Adalah turnover rate.
So you have to hire maybe 2,000 workers every year for the next 3 years. You try hire 2,000 workers every year? 2,000 workers yang highly technical tau, yang kena tahu bikin chip.
Habis dia lah. Bukan simple labor.
Okay. 2,000 workers per year, that's like 150 to 200 workers per month. That means every week kau kena hire dalam 30-40 orang. Without fail lah. Intensity dia. I mean, it's impossible, right? According to the panel discussion tadi dekat Invest KL, diorang Invest Malaysia, diorang macam boleh. Maybe we won't be able to hit the target, maybe.
Yeah.
Tapi boleh. It is a solvable problem. Boleh.
Yeah. Okay. I think labor is there lah. Labor is there, but it's just
Material, you know, kalau tak ada material, tak apa, kita boleh carilah tempat lain. Perang-perang ni, Ukraine pun tak apa, kita boleh cari. There's another problem, ringgit, kejatuhan ringgit. This morning kita tengok ringgit dah jatuh 4.55 against US dollar. Maknanya kalau nak import, sangat-sangat
sakit,
sangat you know, benda yang kau boleh import dulu RM3.5 worth of satu chip yang singgit, papan yang singgit, papan 1 US dollars and cost you RM3.50. Now the same shit cost you RM4.50. Look, my friend, these are the cost of doing business. You can do it. But the moment the government says, no, cannot, tak boleh, ini jam, itu jam, tak boleh buat macam ni, tak boleh buat macam tu, koyak, bro. That's why Foxconn or Honhai going to India is not because they really love Gujarat ataupun they love Narendra Modi or
there's
anything
else.
Maybe they do.
Maybe
they do. But because they can't make it work with China, that's the big answer there. Itu pasal diorang lari. Itulah dia, impact yang terbesar dalam
cerita ni. Cerita pasal China and regulation ni boleh kata unending. And it's good to see and monitor how creative companies try in order to just survive. Kita akhiri segmen apa lagi berita terbesar. Kita berehat sebentar, lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen teman aman.
Okay, cerita dia macam ni. Kamu seorang pengusaha kecil dan mikro. Kamu menjual barang macam-macam. Dan telah tiba masanya kamu membuat penampilan di media untuk menceritakan kisah kamu. Tapi isu dia sekarang, kamu takut. Tak tahu nak start kat mana. Nak cerita apa? Nak cakap dengan siapa? Ini semua normal problem. Di Pusat Media Amans, kami sediakan media training untuk pengusaha kecil macam korang. Wartawan-wartawan bertauliah dari Astro Awani, BFM Radio dan media masa lain sedia untuk memberikan latihan kepada kamu. Dengan hanya RM50 sahaja, kamu akan mendapat latihan media dari real life reporters. Tanya kami di us@amans.my sekarang. Media training untuk semua di us@amans.my.
Baik, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pi, sejumpa Yem. Ini adalah segmen ketiga, segmen teman Amans. Di biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan memberi respon kepada soalan yang dibangkitkan lama tu kepada teman-teman Amans kita yang menghantarkan ke us@amans.my. Dan untuk kali ini, kita telah menerima email daripada saudari Alicia yang bertanyakan tentang unit trust and private retirement scheme. Mapi dan Yem, recently there was a case where the Federation of Investment Managers Malaysia, FIMMM, has publicly remanded a unit trust scheme and a private retirement scheme's consultant for breaching the Federation's rules. What do we know about this whole industry, and how can we better equip ourselves with the knowledge in order to navigate this particular? Okay, Alicia, kalau to be completely honest with you, I am no aku sebenarnya aku pun in the midst of actually looking at PRS to be specific. Aku pun taklah boleh dikatakan expert in it, but I know there are actually I'm surprised there are more than 16 private retirement schemes available in Malaysia, and of course the safest is to ask bank lah. Tapi if you do not know, you should ask people who know. I'm not sure about you yet. What do you know about this whole unit trust scheme and private retirement scheme?
Oh, well, I can tell you this. My I got the shock of my life when my personal financial advisor meninggal dunia secara mengejut. Dia punya agency WhatsApp aku last week. Yeah, dia kata dia Mr. Ibrahim, dia kata Munwai has unfortunately passed away suddenly. due to medical condition, and we can pass you over to the to our other colleagues lah. So aku pun macam, I was a bit shocked lah. I mean, that took me by surprise altogether because I don't remember him being so old pun. You know, I was talking to Chua lah kan, and she's like, the guy can't possibly be old, right? I mean, like, I'm not saying he looks like an 18-year-old boy, but looks more like a late 40s, early 50s kind of guy. But
you never know.
It is what it is, lah. So
you never know. You never really know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, kalau dah ajal kan. So anyway, my thoughts and prayers go to Moon Wai. You know, I mean, I he's such a really fantastic personal advisor, financial advisor, and you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. So yes, it really brings into focus the kind of the quick reaction of how short your life can be. Why I'm bringing it up is because he is a big fan of PRS dengan unit trust and all this. And at the end of the day, soalan ni sangat bagus because you know, you want to diversify your assets, you want to diversify your risk. Tapi kalau kau Bumi Putra, you really got to think about ASB as your go-to decision maker first. And then of course you can also take loan, you know, I mean, ASB loan is still slightly below the ASB dividend. I mean, OPR apa semua naik, no matter what, it's still lower. So kalau kau ambil loan, katalah RM50,000, you know, and then the interest rate is katalah 2%, your dividend is going to be 4%. You know what I mean? So until and unless you solve that part first, especially kalau kau Bumi Putra, kau tak payah nak kecoh benda lain dulu. Selesai dulu bab ASB, baru kita sembang pasal PRS apa semua. But I hesitate to say these things because of a few reasons. Number one, investing is an extremely deeply personal choice. Number two, I'm not licensed to tell you what to do. I'm not.
What's the best? Okay, kalau how SC to work dengar, your money?
Nah, kalau, I mean, I'm not licensed. So kalau SC dengar ni, mampus aku. You know? Number three, I feel that you should be responsible for your own cash. You should know
what's best for you lah.
Advice. And then decide for yourself. Sebab kalau kau pergi makan restoran and then kau order chicken chop, kawan kau order nasi lemak, you have to live with that decision for the rest of your life, bro. When the food comes out and the nasi lemak turns out better than your chicken chop, you can't do anything. I mean, you can curi the nasi lemak lah, assuming your friend gives. But the same shit happens to you here. That's why you should learn more, find out more, and try to understand your needs better before you start relying on apa mood, trend, apa semua orang ramai nak buat apa. Okay? That's why this soalan is extremely more important to be understood as jangan ikut orang ramai. Don't follow the trend. Sekarang ni trend kita ni more of ni what is you know, what is in vogue lah sekarang. Contohnya
apa season? Nama dia?
Bitcoin. Bitcoin. NFT,
crypto, whatever that crypto.
Crypto. Chill lah, bro. Chill. You know, you can't go with semua orang beli tu, kau beli tu. Semua orang beli ni, kau beli ni. Semua orang masuk tu, kau. Hey, bang, relax, bang.
Dia macam, dia macam emas lah. At one point, it was emas, But I think you should know.
Oh yeah. Remember, yeah. I remember. Because, semua emas.
Because point, I think, semua. I think, I think 15 years ago or 16 years ago, I was a student then. Even I invested in gold because apparently that was the in thing to do, right? Like 20 years later, you sell it at a higher price. Eh? Luckily, aku rasa aku untung RM16 after a few years. So, I mean, but I think what Yem hit the point, you know, the best. Memang kalau tak tahu tu, seek advice. And yeah, you should be in control of what you want and not just because your friend yang, you know, cakap dengan you ke or apa ke. This where it gives rise to scams lah. You should know that PRS ni dengan even unit trust pun bukan everyone can offer. So it's better to see if the, you know, get official and licensed advice lah. Not from us.
Don't follow the trend. don't be dumb. Just stick to what you know, and if you don't know, learn. That's the only way.
Sage advice. Thanks so much, Alicia. I really appreciate your teman Aman. Lama tak jumpa teman-teman Aman punya email ni. It's glad to see it once I'm back. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya. Segmen ramalan atau nuzul.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Aman's TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Aman's hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Aman's TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Aman's bersama aku Mapis dan juga Yip. Ini adalah segmen seterusnya, segmen ramalan atau nuzul. Biasa dalam segmen ni aku dan Yim akan sembang tentang ramalan yang kami buat tentang macam-macam perkara in the tech world, business, politik dan sebagainya. Dan aku rasa untuk kali ni Yim ada benda nak ramal berkaitan dengan Google. Yang kita tahu dia ada face massive damages claims in UK. Apa ramalan dia Yim?
So okay, ramalan aku adalah Google akan set aside satu angka yang sangat besar, iaitu sekitar $10 billion untuk selesaikan semua dia punya damages claim serata dunia dan untuk memastikan yang diorang punya perniagaan akan berlancar secara mudah, dan diorang akan cipta satu anak syarikat yang handle benda ni saja.
You know why?
Because it's something, itu ramalan aku. Yeah, because takkan every Friday kau kena saman, lepas tu kau kena deal dengan ni.
No. Penat lah.
You know what I mean? Think about it this way. If something cost you a lot of money in terms of capex, and then if you know that this is a recurring thing, and you have dedicated people doing it to solve this problem, and you know for a fact that this requires a good PR management to deal with the good side and bad side of it, bro, you have a business line already. So Google ada YouTube that meets all the four criterias. Google ada apa lagi? Gmail that meets all the four criterias. What is stopping Google from creating a subsidiary company that deals specifically with damages and claims and all this other bullshit? So ramalan aku, dia akan create satu anak syarikat. All the shit, all the misconduct, all the damages,
semua
all the court battles, apa, semua pergi sana. Dia pergi hive off. Dan dia akan jual between mother company, parent company dengan subsidiary, the rights for the damages. Now we've seen this in the banking industry. I can bet you don't know this. It's called a bad bank and a good bank. Do you know this?
No, I don't.
Okay. Very simple. Bad bank is when the main bank sells all the bad debts and loans to the bad bank. And the bad bank will buy from the mother company.
Okay. Ada real life contoh
tak? CIMB lah. So CIMB bad bank. I don't remember the name of the bank, but something along the lines of recovery. Macam itulah, CIMB Recovery, Senyap Bahat, some shit like that lah.
Huh? So basically so someone who handles all your shit and someone who handles all your profit lah.
Betul. So we've seen this. So that's a real life example. So CIMB Bank is a good bank. Dia ada NPL. Why dia punya NPL tinggi is because diorang beli bank. Dia buat acquisition banyak-banyak. Remember? CIMB beli Southern Bank, beli Bank Bumi, beli Bank Commerce, beli Bank Niaga,
CIMB.
Jadi all this rubbish ni, yang ni NPL 2%, yang sana 5%, yang ni 4%, yang ni 3%. Bila you accumulate all that, suddenly become sizable. I don't remember what, but it's not like a single digit, it's a lot. So because of this, they sold off all the bad debt to the bad bank. They name it something very, you know, kosher, like CIMB Recovery Bank Berhad benda. All of them owns there, and then it stays there, and then now CIMB has a clean book and they can start doing business properly after all these acquisitions. Okay, so that's the plan.
there's nothing wrong that says Google is going to do the same shit. So let's say macam berita yang kita, you know, gembar-gemburkan ni, Google ada 25 billion damage claim dekat UK dan juga dekat Belanda berkenaan dengan ad tech practices ataupun iklan technology practices, ad tech. So Alphabet unit Google will face damages setinggi 25 billion euros ataupun 25 billion dollars over its digital advertising practices in two suits that has been filed dekat mahkamah dekat Britain dan juga mahkamah dekat Belanda. Dan Google advertising technology ini has drawn scrutiny from pengawal selia regulator dekat negara-negara di Eropah, susulan daripada publisher-publisher yang sakit hati dengan diorang. Publisher-publisher ni termasuklah syarikat berita, syarikat surat khabar dan sebagainya. Okay, now they are facing or they are staring at a $25 billion saman. This is very distracting. If you're Google, it's very distracting because you're trying to run a search engine. Sundar Pichai
banyak,
in his
banyak
Google
benda.
Day event last week, banyak benda nak buat. So might as well just jual lancau ni, pergi ke the bad Google. And that bad Google will just handle all the bad debts.
Interesting. Okay. So now there will be good ramalan. Search engine and bad search engine. But
yeah. Very, that's my suspicion.
Very, very interesting. We'll see if it comes to fruition. Kita berehat sebentar sebelum kita akhiri podcast Aman. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya. Segmen baik, bro.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okey, ini adalah podcast Amans bersama aku, Mapi dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Di biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan cakap tentang baik dan buruk yang aku monitor untuk minggu ni ataupun sesi kali ni. Yem, apa yang kau nampak baik dan buruk untuk kali ni?
Baik buruk minggu ni, did we talk about Najib going to jail as a baik? I don't think so, right? No.
I think
Najib going to jail.
Masa tu aku sakit. No. We tak sempat kot.
Masa tu kau sakit. Okay. That is a baik. Buruk is, I don't know. I think cycle and carriage being delisted. Yeah, man. Buruk maybe cycle and carriage lah. Sebab they delist daripada Bursa Malaysia. Cycle and carriage adalah pengedar Mercedes-Benz. And bermula September 19, they are delisted. So the entire issue shared capital of Cycle and Carriage Berhad will be removed from Bursa Malaysia. It's sad because I was part of the team that was involved during the listing when it was listed through CIMB Investment. Masa tu aku kerja kat CIMB Investment. And it's, you know, I remember clearly because it was one of my first deals. You know, fresh out of university, jakun, you know, don't know how to work, don't know how to work, aku tak kerti. And then, you know, kerja banyak, you know, 100 hours per week, you know, 120 hours per week, semangat, you know. And then, you know, 20 years down the road, it delist. So aku, I mean, this struck a personal chord lah. I mean, there's nothing else. I'm not saying that second carriage.
Nostalgia. Apa nama? A bit of nostalgia.
So it's not. Dulu
Mak Hassan terlibat lah dulu. Once upon a time.
I actually don't know the personalities involved. I honestly don't
know. Okay.
It was called Jardine Cycle and Carriage Limited dulu. Ada unconditional voluntary takeover through CIMB Investment to acquire all remaining ordinary shares that was not already owned by Jardine. And somehow or other didn't work out lah. But then again, you know, you look back, what is the point of listing or delisting? I mean, it's all about trying to get money from the market. And I think this is the best way for them to go forward. So this could be a good corporate decision. But at the same time, I mean, Yeah, I mean you list the thing kan, and then now it's delisted.
Yeah.
It's sad lah, we.
Yeah, betul betul.
Itulah baik buruk aku. How about you, man? You ada baik buruk?
Aku baik buruk aku link to you. Baik baik untuk aku of course me getting back on my feet. But also baik untuk aku is the fact that Tunku Maimun, which is our CJ, basically just came out and say, of course she said it in the most nicest, sweetest way, but basically she said, kalau hang tak tahu, hang diam je lah. I think basically that's what she say lah when it comes to, and that is linked to my buruk, is because there are a lot of people who with no knowledge of law trying to weigh in into Najib's case lah. I don't have that knowledge, so aku ikut je apa yang hakim cakap. But I think aku rasa benda ni it's a good thing that I mean it's a bad thing that, you know, orang asyik dok gebur-gebur justice for Najib apa-apa. But without actually knowing the facts of the case, merits of the case dan sebagainya, and aku rasa that is a tad bit annoying lah, because you should know then you can comment. Aku rasa yang itulah baik dan buruk aku this particular session. And on that note, kita akhiri podcast Aman sekali ini. Seperti biasa, jika anda mempunyai maklum balas dan sebagainya, hantarkan ke Asyik dan Mas Mai. Aku, Yim, sentiasa mengalu-alukannya. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi podcast akan datang.
Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.